Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And this is how we enter into His gates, right? Through thanksgiving. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. You know, and as we testify, you know, most of us are not old yet. And even old, if you're old, Chris. So, you know. There's still so much that God wants to do. You know, and I believe as we even testify this morning that, you know, God will take this even as a seed in your life. And listen, a life of thankfulness is not something that necessarily comes naturally to us. But may this stir something in your heart. And then I just also want to read Revelation 12:11. It says, and they conquered him. This is my translation. It says, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Now, none of us want to read that second part, but all right. But this is the thing. Today we testify, and as we testify, we overcome. So you sitting here, maybe you didn't plan even something. Then let this be the faith in you to come and share something. You know, so that you can overcome in your life. So that you can see the glory of God just come in a greater measure in your life. All right, so with that, we're going to kick it off. Now the question, of course, is who's going to be first? I say, Gina's going first. Yeah, you just... So don't touch the mic. We'll adjust the mic if it needs it. Gina, stand by the long, you know, the word, you know. All right. Great stuff.
Okay. I'm just sharing this for those that were not at the church party. It's your problem if you weren't there. I trusted the Lord. You all know that I was here in front to be prayed for healing of my hip and my shoulders. And I trusted the Lord for that for a long time. And it didn't happen. And then the Lord challenged me strongly with my motives, with the scriptures, a couple of scriptures. You do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives. And the Lord specifically challenged me with, what if I don't heal you? And everything stood up inside me. You have to heal me. It's my right according to the scriptures, you know, type of thing. And then the scripture came up, if the fig tree does not blossom, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you don't heal me even unto death, yet I will serve you. And my healing came just like that. And then I didn't realize how well my healing came until I told you guys at the party. There was a fire in our house and I ran like a lunatic to go and fetch the stuff to kill the fire. And I fell on a step and I fell prostrate, I tell you, full length. Onto the tar, not the tar, the cement. And I literally bounced off the cement and got up, ran, did everything I needed to be done after the fire was killed, which was a serious fire. I stood there and I went like, okay, so when is the pain coming? And I literally went inside, went to go look in the mirror. You know, I've got no skin off. I've got no geen scrapeny, you know, no blue marks, no pain, absolutely nothing whatsoever. Wow. And that is a miracle because I did not have strong joints, muscles, ligaments, anything. I should have been a wreck after that. But God just completely restored me. So amen. Glory to God.
Morning, church. If you don't jump in early, then you don't get there. Yeah, I have such a grateful heart to the Lord this morning for what He has done for me. Now, as many of you know, I'm widowed and I'm retired. So maybe that's a negative. But I have a father who provides for me. And we started this year, and of course none of us knew what was coming. 2020 is maybe a bad word. We had gone on the camp, but just before the camp, I started noticing my investments were diminishing. And I'd lost about 10,000 Rand at that time. And this was way even before COVID was announced. And I looked at this and I thought, Lord, I can't afford to lose money. And it's like the Lord challenged me. I've lost 10,000 on the, be it because of whatever is happening out there on the stock exchange and the downgrades and whatever. Are you willing to trust me? Now I've lost 10,000, I need to give 20,000. And you know, in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your pathway. So I'm saying, okay, Lord, I've lost 10,000 and you are speaking to me and saying, I need to actually now give 20,000. And now, you know, we go on the camp and of course it's a faith. And I actually went up the last Sunday we were at camp. I went up and I thought, if I don't do this now, the devil's going to whisper in my ear, no, you're being stupid. So I went to pastor and I said to him, can you please pray for me? Then I shared with him what the Lord has told me before I went on the camp, what I need to do. And I said, you know why I'm telling you this? It's because, and he told me, it's because if I leave here, I'm going to change my mind. And that's true. That is actually what happens. And I went up for him to pray for me. So now I've lost 30,000 rand. Well, what seems to me, it's a loss. Because my bank balance or my balances on my investments is less. But you know, God is awesome. He not just vindicates you. He gives you so much more. There's not one day. I still have my entire family, even other family members with me that I didn't bargain for. And we're able to help. But the best thing I think of all is that God comes through for you in different ways. And he meets your need through unforeseen circumstances. I have a geyser burst and they need to come and replace this. Now, my geyser was ceiling was caving in and I needed to get that fixed. But the Lord, through a geyser burst, organizes all of this. So through a negative, a positive comes. So I don't have to pay anything, no excess, no nothing. My flooring needs to be changed. And I'm thinking, oh, I need to lift this all up and put tiles down. There, I got new tiles. The insurance tells me I can spend 250 Rand on carpets. So I said, now, can I put down tiles? No problem. So you can spend up to 250 a square meeting. Anything beyond that is your own cost. So I find a tile that I like, and it's about 150 Rand a square meter. So I contact them and I said, can I get the balance in the difference in tiles? Sure, you can get it. So I get about 5 boxes, which is actually probably about 6, 7, maybe nearly 8 square meters of tiles. So I'm going to now do my other room. And I just need to buy tiles for the next room and, of course, the other things. But I thought, you know, the devil thinks he can win. He's winning by taking away, by making you lose. But God overcomes. And through unforeseen circumstances, way beyond, things that you can't work out for yourself, he brings in blessing. That's only one little thing. But I know if I must share, I will stand here the whole day. I've already shared testimony of God's goodness to me and my family, for safekeeping, for safe travel. And I mean, there's so much, so much more that we can share, but I'm going to give others an opportunity.
Thank you.
All right, so can I ask that we come up two? One at each mic. Okay, well, both at one mic. You can stand both at one mic, but can we have the next person so long come this side?
Yeah, no, so I can't praat nie, so I say, ek moet die praat weg doen.
I run on a rabbit trail.
Well, I'm just up here to say Thanksgiving this year because, let me get a bit closer here. This year, I mean, we didn't expect COVID-19 to appear, and once that happened and the president said we're in lockdown, everyone must go home. It was fantastic for me and Sharon because so we had a holiday together, and it was so nice being there. And I mean, the Lord's just provided in the sense that my boss said, don't worry, Chris, your salary's paid in full, no worries about that. So, sure. You know, this year I can, even though the devil brought for bad, I can say thank you, Lord, because you made it for good for us.
And I mustn't touch it, but okay. I don't know what I'm going to say now because there's so much that I'm thankful for. But one of the big things for me was, so last year I'd been praying for a house for like from 2013, I think it was. So it was like for 5 years. I mean, like I was praying for a house and I was looking and looking and looking, and I couldn't find what I was looking for. Or the area, or, you know, I had a list, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, this is my list. I'm being specific. This is what I want. And I couldn't find the place. And then end of 2018, I found the place, and it checked all the boxes except one. And the one box that it didn't check was that it was far from work. And I'm like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I have my list. And okay, so I mean, I hesitated, and I, you know, even pastor came to, showed it to pastor, and like, you know, like my family went with me a couple of times to go look at it because I really thought, I think this is the one, but there's this one box on my list. And then I thought, you know, I prayed, and like, okay, Lord, you know what? It's far from work, it doesn't make sense. Why are you going to buy it in Brackenfell? But okay, I'm going to do it. I was so grateful because I knew, like, I was leaning on the word that I forgot now where it is, but it said God ordains where each one should live, and I knew that God, like, that was my prayer going through the house looking for house journey, that Lord, you know where each one should live, so you know. And then, like, this house is so close to church and it's close to everything, it's wonderful. And okay, so I signed it and the deal went through. And yeah, it was actually, and somebody else had actually already put an offer in, so I was up against somebody else. And but it just worked out. Like, I wasn't even in the country when they messaged me and said, you know, you got it, and like, just everything was fine. And then it came through last year, and then I had to start traveling to Joburg. And then I was traveling to Joburg a lot more, and I was like, Lord, I just got this house and I really love it, and but now I have to go to Joburg. Like, this doesn't even make sense. Why did I even buy this house? Like, anyway. So, and then, like, last year I went for a couple of months, and I was like, yo, you know, that was such a blessing. And now I'm like, not even at home. Like, okay. But praise God, like, I think it was such a blessing still, because I was able to tell youth and people, like, no, you can, when people were coming down to Cape Town, like, oh, there's a place for you to stay, like, so that was fine. And then at the end of last year, I was in Joburg thinking, okay, must I move there or not? And then, at the beginning of this year, I was like, no, I'm not going to move. I knew that, I just felt I need to be in Cape Town. And then I had to come back to Cape Town for an audit. And while I was here, lockdown happened. And so, like, it's been such a blessing to be at home. Like, so I was like, you know, yes, negative COVID, whatever. But it's like, yo, I've just been, like, so grateful that, the blessing that God is a really blessing that I've been able to enjoy. And it's really been also for His glory. Like, it's been such a blessing to be able to have church at home. And, so I want to praise God for that. And also, sorry, one more thing. And my mom had actually testified this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to give God glory for sparing my life, because in September, we could have died. We were driving and I lost control of the vehicle. And, you know, I shared this before, but, you know, the power of the name of Jesus, when my mom, like when we saw what was happening and I took my hands off the wheel and the car was going almost 100 kilometers on a gravel road and we could see this is not going to end well. And my mom just said, "Oh, Jesus." And then the car stopped dead still, like just came to complete stop. And like we just, I remember just looking at each other and we're like, "Oh my gosh, like how did we stop? That was like, Chris, how did we stop?" And like how, we didn't die. But yeah, I really praise God. Like there's power in his name and there's life in his name. And there's, yeah, what a joy and a blessing to serve him. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So just to add on to that, I was praying for a car early on in the year, and I said to the Lord, either you give me a car, because you gave me a new job, so I need a car, or you do something else, and then COVID happened, so I'm working from home, so I don't need a car. And I only told Nandi and Pastor, and we're going to pray for this, and then, yeah. But what I actually wanted to share was not specifically about 2020, it's about the whole church, since we moved here, and the last few years. I can honestly say that I've been stretched and I've encountered the Lord in a way that is on another level. And, yeah. that's why I wrote this down so that I. Yeah. And there was a point where I felt like my insides were on fire. And I've read an account from a guy that he said he was on his floor and he was weeping and he was sweating in a cold sweat, praying for the lost or praying for the church. And I was like, yo, I can actually identify with this. So yeah, this is not by coincidence to be stretched to new limits like that. But then there's also breakthroughs that I've seen that maybe in secret, but to give you a little bit of context, my family history, like my dad is a missionary. So I've seen things in the spirit, and I've witnessed things in church life and culture, but it was as an eyewitness, it wasn't as a participant necessarily. I mean, I've been on mission trips, but here I can actually say, not just as a testimony. And I read that scripture, Revelation 12, at Brackenfell High School on Thursday, and I was like, I can say to the enemy, I can say also that I am here, that these victories, I was a participant in these victories. And that's not something small. So I can actually say to the enemy, yes, I am in the game.
So. Just speak about what my wife actually did more, because I think we as a family went through it. You know, it's a culmination for her, I think, for like 16 years, and for me and for us as a family for 5 years. You know, like my wife is a doctor, so she works 40 hours a week. On top of that, she does calls, which is an extra 40 hours a month. And she did her exams to become a pediatrician this year. And that is really, really, on top of all that hours that she has to work, she had to study. She had to prepare for exams. She was writing, putting together MMed. So all that is really, really an amazing accomplishment for us as a family. You know, so I think that overshadows everything else that happened to us this year. Even COVID is nothing, because she was supposed to write her exams in February, which she did. And she was supposed to do her verbal examinations in May. But because COVID hit, it was moved up to October. Just with that also, it's quite funny, because last year we prayed and the Lord told us, yeah, do the first semester, don't do the second semester. Sandra's time as a registrar finishes end of January. So if we did second semester like we planned, she would have had to move her time even longer, and she might have only have written exams in next year. So the Lord really guided us in that. And just for her to accomplish all of that, you know, like for her to come home, eat supper and go and study for the rest of the evening, you know, for weeks on end, that's really amazing. With that also, the Lord guided us and gave us peace. You know, the enemy attacked us quite a lot around this. Are you going to pass? Are you going to do this? Are you going? And she did, and she passed very well. So, yeah. Thanks.
More than a year ago, me and a lady, we were praying in the mother's room, and I was pregnant at the time, and she didn't have a baby yet, and she actually, as we prayed and we talked, she told me that she didn't want to be in my small group or wanted to be near me because I was pregnant and it was really hard for her. She knows that I'm telling you this, okay. And she said it was too hard for her. And I said, but do you know my story? How hard this was for me as well, because I waited 7 years for this baby. And so we just talked through our struggles and we cried together. And she has an amazing journey as well. She will share that, I hope. And then, so she came to a small group and she became pregnant and it was also a struggle, but her baby was born. And last week we were sitting in the mother's room again and the first opening song was "This is Amazing Grace." And I started to cry and I looked at him and I told you, you know what, a year ago we were sitting here crying. Now my baby is running around on the floor and yours is 3 months old. And that was just the most beautiful picture. So I cried, obviously. And the goodness of God and that he is true to his promises. And because of his faithfulness, we are thankful.
Hello, church. So mine goes around my dad and the leaders in my small group will know this. So as lockdown started, my dad had a heart attack. And so it was obviously stressful at that time for us because, one, nobody really knew what was going on at that stage. It was quite early. And my mom couldn't go to the hospital and stuff. And my dad is over 70, has comorbidities. So it was, you know, uncertain time for us. But our small group, we prayed a lot, and the leaders prayed a lot. My dad has went through three operations. The first one, they lost a stent in his arm. The second one, had to go and find the stent again. And then they realized they can't put a stent in, and they had to do a triple bypass. And during this time, we just continued praying. You know, he was vulnerable and stuff, so... but God just pushed him through it, you know, and his recovery went very, very well. But it was almost delayed. And then the man had to go back for a back operation as well while he was recovering from a heart operation. So he's been through a lot. And I think as a family, we just stood and prayed. And I say family, the small group has really been supportive in this time through this. And he's now honky-dory. He's on his way to self, and he just praises God, you know. He's also a child of God, and he can just give him the honor in that. And so we really saw God's grace and power through this time, and, you know, we really had to trust. Even in the unknown, my mom had went and stood in the parking lot and had to talk to my dad through the window, scallum, just to see him. You know, so, but even through that, there was a lot of grace. Grace with doctors and favor with doctors just through this time. So God was really good for us as a family. You know, it meant that we couldn't see him until, I'm going to guess now, August, September for the first time. Yeah. You know, I think I did one drive-by just before a wave that, you know, this is our faces. Luckily, technology helped. But even in that, you know, it was struggle, it was hard. We had to be patient with him. But God was good, you know, and then... Now his health is where it was, even better than before.
Okay, so most of you already know that David and I got stranded in Macedonia for 5 months this year due to COVID and the resultant travel restrictions. But there are aspects of this ordeal that we haven't told a lot of people. What could only have been the Holy Spirit waking my brother-in-law up at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night to tell him to go now, and a day earlier than he was supposed to pick us up in Greece, picking us up at 1 a.m. in the morning and getting us across the border an hour before the borders between Greece and Macedonia were closed indefinitely. Sorry. If that had not happened, we would have been stranded in Greece, no money, nowhere to stay. Yes, being stuck in a foreign country for 5 months is not ideal, But we were with my sister and her husband, and we got to spend precious quality time with them, witnessing many of my nephew's firsts, which we would not have been able to do otherwise. My sister also desperately needed us there, which only became apparent to us when we got there. We also spent way less money while there than we would have done if we were home, as we could share grocery costs with them, and our house upkeep costs were negligible as we weren't home to use water and electricity. When we finally raised the money for our repatriation flights through generous donations and Macedonia's borders opened and we returned home, we had probably 800 rand in our account and had not worked in 5 months and did not have jobs to go back to. When we arrived home, we had to empty our fridge and freezer as everything had gone off and the smell was not pleasant, to say the least. But within an hour, friends started pulling up to our house, one after the other, and within a few hours, we had been blessed with so much food, cat food and cat litter to last us a month, a grocery voucher, electricity. Our counters, cupboards, and kitchen floor had no more space, and out of our blessings, we were able to bless 4 more families. every month since September 2018, David was retrenched, we've had enough to cover our bills through God's amazing grace, and this year has been no exception. It's been tough and has taken a lot of faith. Some months are easier than others. Some months are more stressful, but God has been so faithful. He always meets us where we are, every time. Grace teaches us to trust, and trust is yet another word for faith.
I actually noticed quite recently that I'm the emotional one in my relationship. So, so many things to be thankful for. I can't even mention it. But the one thing that I can say is God removing fear from my heart is one of the biggest blessings I've ever had. And, you know, when this COVID thing started, the guys at work were also scared. And this guy came up to me and I was like, but this is not so bad. It's like influenza, similar, nothing to fear. And he's like, no, but this can kill you. I was like, so will life. So I think fear removing from your heart is like something amazing. And, you know, just being able to wake up and knowing God still has a plan. If he wakes you up every morning, he still got business with you, so.
With this whole COVID thing, and I just want to express my thankfulness and everything to God for bringing our family through all of this, and also especially being there for my dad when he had the stroke and everything that he went through. Tristan, with his bad accident, we really prayed that it wouldn't have affected his emotional well-being because he's with his teeth and everything, and he's even better now than ever before. He's more confident, and it's just all grace and thanks to God.
So for everyone who doesn't know me, which is everyone except for this and Loretz, I'm Richard, and my fiance back there is Michelle. But just the story of Thanksgiving, just for this year. So I work for a startup company with about 8 other people. My 2 founders started about 2 years ago. So we're a recruitment company, or technology-based recruitment company, and just before COVID struck, we were kind of at the last ends, and it was really just looking super, super bleak for all of us, and it's obviously the founders' full investments and all of their money had gone into the company, and we obviously had a lot of investment from other companies too, but going into COVID, obviously with being a recruitment company, we went from working with about 10 or 20 companies to not one company hiring and going 6 months without making one hire at all. But by the grace of God, we got an investment from the Oppenheimer Fund, we got TERS payments, so every single month during COVID, we all got our full salaries. And now going through this, we've just landed PEP as a client and Food Lovers, and this month we've made 200 placements, so 200 people got jobs this month, and in South Africa, that means that 800 lives have been changed. So that's huge, and I'm getting married to the love of my life. In fact,
I was just checking, if nobody else is getting up, it means I've got extra time, right? Yeah, maybe the biggest challenge is going to actually be to keep it all together. The Lord took me on a road the last 18 months, a little bit more away. And I can't actually identify what the biggest thing that he did in my life was. Maybe it was changing my heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Most of you know that I bought into a company about 18 months ago. That's where the big change really started happening in my life. And I got one clear word from the Lord, and that was that he was opening an opportunity for me and I would need to learn to stand up and speak in authority. And that has turned out to be one of the toughest challenges for me. And I was basically resting on a whole lot of, and holding on to a whole lot of other words that I had in my life. And that got me through up to a certain point. And anyway, at the beginning of the year, the Lord said to me, there's a new verse that's applicable in your life, and that is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I thought, okay, that's cool. Maybe it's meaning to start thinking like a business person and all that sort of thing. Fast forward a couple of months later, and just after the business starting to take off, COVID happened, back to square one, except this time with no reserves. But one thing I found myself able to say the whole time was, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but we're going to get through this, because the Lord hasn't brought us to here to let us down now. And we're going to make it through this for his grace and for his glory. And started off going all right, started getting busy, and then suddenly it just started getting really tough. And one Friday after work, I just realized I've never given up on anything in my life, but I'm actually ready to give up now. It's just too much. And I went into the shop because I'd made a couple of commitments to people. I went in and I was just going, no, I'm not in the mood for this today. We're not normally open on a Saturday. I just go in to do stuff. And the entire Saturday morning till 1 o'clock, nonstop. I didn't get to doing anything I wanted to do. What I had planned to do, why? Because I was just busy writing out quotes. The people were coming. First person stopped, can I get a quote? And from there, and it just... And everybody was saying to me, what's going on? Check it out. And I'm going like, whatever. I'm done. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. And Sunday morning, I woke up and I picked up my phone, and my sister had posted a video on Facebook. I just got a notification. I thought, okay, that's interesting. Let's have a look, because she's not that into Facebook. And it was a minute and a half video of a guy I've never heard of before, and he said, and he was walking next to the sea, and he said, you know, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I can't carry on doing this. It's too much. It's just, I'm climbing mountains one after another, and each time I think I'm reaching the top, I just realize it's just a little plateau, and it's another mountain, and I can't do this anymore. And I was going, yeah, but I know what you're talking about. And he said, you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said to me, I didn't call you to climb mountains. I called you to speak to them. And it just blew me away, because that was the word I'd got from the Lord right in the beginning that I'd never been able to do. And I said, yeah, it's... Basically, from there, I said to the Lord, okay, what is it I do? And it was, you call the things that be not as though they were. And I said, Lord, I don't have the courage to do that, because when is it me? When is it prosperity teaching? When is it what? When is it? He said, what is your verse for this year? And I said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Call that. And that's what I did. That's what I started doing. When the mountain looks too big, I say, I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. And that is, I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. And you know what? Just like that, your mind changes. And you start looking at things differently. It's incredible. Within not even hours, minutes, you start thinking differently. And the courage started building in me. And I started speaking. I started speaking work into the shop. I started speaking money into the bank account. Although I didn't know how it was possible. I walked into the shop knowing or thinking that there's Rand X in my bank account. And the Lord said to me, go have a look what's there. And there's been more than double in there. I've had one Sunday night, I knew there was 12,000 Rand in my bank account. Month end, it's Tuesday. 75,000 Rand just for rent. By Monday, that was there, wages was there, everything was there. And the next morning, I get a phone call from my accountant saying, remember, you got to pay VAT. It's 93,000. And I went, there's no way it's going to happen. That was Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, 4:15. Rent was paid, VAT was paid, suppliers were paid. And there was enough money for sale. It's not me. It's all him.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Yes, I'm also a widower. I've got two beautiful daughters. Yes, in this past 4.5 years, we suffer a lot financially. But through the grace of God, we are still standing here. Amen. Stephanie just finished the university. And I'm so grateful for that, because without his help, we wouldn't have done it. And the other day, we have to service our car. And me and Leanne were struggling with money. We were counting out the money and see if we got enough. And the car was took in. And then after that, she, the Friday morning, she go in to her work. And she asked the lady who she's working for, when can she go get the car and how much will it be? And then they tell her, you don't have to pay any cent for it. It's already covered.
Okay, so this is just a testimony of Thanksgiving. So I don't want to put lots of emphasis on COVID, because I feel like everyone has done that. And at this point, everyone is over it already. If it could disappear now, it would be amazing. But the last couple of months, I feel like it has had an influence on everybody's lives, if we want to admit it or not. But when lockdown was announced, like the original one, I was actually quite peaceful about it. Lots of people freaked out, but I feel like I was one of those people that was quite peaceful, and I didn't really understand why. But then I realized that I started the lockdown with a fast with one of my friends, and I feel like that really helped to keep my focus on what is important and not focusing on what is going on in the natural, because everything was overwhelming, but focusing on God and knowing that He's all that matters really helped a lot. But then later in lockdown, I realized that there was something in my life that was almost like a chain and holding me back from fully walking in my purpose that God has set out for me. But the thing is, I didn't know what that burden or chain was. And then recently, and with recently, I mean like last week, Friday, I think, God really came revealed and said it was pride. And it's quite intense or scary to think about the influence that pride can have in your life. So when God revealed that, I finally had like a very honest, very transparent and very vulnerable conversation with God, and just repenting of all that pride. And yeah, and then last Friday, the chain finally broke, and I feel like I can finally truly walk into the freedom that that God has set out for me. So,
okay, cool. So me, I guess Stephanie. I think a lot of people don't actually know me before this venue, but I think for me, like, a really big testimony, and it's still like in the process, but I think for me, those who know me, like, I used to be a very shy girl, and kind of like, I used to always blend, I'm not gonna cry, why am I getting emotional, I used to always kind of like blend in the background, where if I was on band, like, the sound guy, I was a nightmare, because you could never pick me up on the mic. And I think, yeah, really just where God has just come and restored that which the enemy has taken, and not just my physical, but I think my spiritual voice as well. But yeah, to where, dang it. Where, yeah, I couldn't even, like, participate in groups. Like, I was just like, I'm not here, you don't need to know I'm here. Where I'm facilitating worship, I've led Bible school, and I'm actually teaching at the university, so I think, yeah, for me, it's just a testimony where God has brought me from, and, yeah, just the excitement of where he's still taking me, so I kind of...
sitting thinking, no, I'm not, because I'm definitely going to cry. Yeah, I can also stand here whole day and speak. So I'm trying to make it as short as possible. And normally I don't like to talk about myself, but yeah, these last 3 years has been a personal journey. I remember the end of 2017, I asked the Lord, and I felt I was in a good space. You know, things were good in the spirit and faith. And I said, Lord, but it's not enough. I want more. I dare to pray that prayer that says, take me deeper into the oceans. And I think had I known what was laying ahead, I definitely would have run away. And I joined my new job in 2018. And that's where the journey started. And it started with sickness. Just being sick constantly. And it became to such an extent, you know, it affects your work, it affects your personal life. And I knew there was something that I'm not seeing. And in that time, the Lord said to me that he will restore health to my body and heal my wounds. And I realized I'm only focusing on the restoring part of the body, but I'm not looking at the wounds. And I started praying. I said, Lord, what are the wounds? And you know what? For the last 3 years, God has been taking me through rejection, deep, deep root of rejection that goes back from the time that my mother conceived me. I went for deliverance for that last year, and the Lord healed me. And right last year, actually, the sicknesses peaked, that I was at the doctor every 3 weeks. And it affects, yeah, it's like, you know what, there was nights and mornings where I got up where I didn't know that I was going to make it. And the doctor put me on antibiotics, and it made me feel sick. It feels like your chest is being crushed in. And I remember in September, we were at a Christmas market the one evening, and I said to Rolf, I'm not feeling well, and I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And I just started praying, and I could clearly hear the devil said to me, he's taking me. And I was just praying. And the next morning, I went to the doctor, and he said to me, I'm the second person in 30 years that has walked over his threshold that it's allergic to that tablet. The last person ended up in ICU, and I realized the devil, you know, the devil comes and he wants to take your life, but God just showed me he cannot. And in this whole 2-3 years, you know, it's been a fight, it's been a battle, toxic mindset, negativity. And there was times in my journey where I would tell, you know, you scream sometimes at the Lord, because it feels like you've been forsaken. It feels like you've been abandoned. But in the storm, the Lord has shown me I'm there. And the Lord has taught me last year that he wants to teach me to hear his voice in the storm. And there's times where he has to pull away, because otherwise you're never going to press in. You're never going to seek him more and more. And the journey's not finished yet, but I know it's closing to an end. So, yeah, I just want to encourage everyone. You know, sometimes, and at some point it feels also that maybe you're backslidden. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Sometimes God has to take us through deep paths, you know, that we can get to the wounds that is in our heart, whether it be your rejection or unworthiness or whatever you struggle with, for the Lord just to reveal that, that you can work through that. But you know what, yeah, I just want to thank God today that I'm here, I'm alive. And when God healed me last year, because I believe he healed me of that sicknesses, the allergies, the sinus, everything. And when COVID strike, that voice came again, you're going to get sick. And I said, no. And I haven't been sick. I haven't been to the doctor this year. And so, yeah, thank God. I just want to thank him and praise him for that. Amen.
Shoo, I was actually sitting there wondering, yo, Lord, what is there that I can share? And everything, my whole life, I think, is a testimony. But I think the thing that I'm most thankful for, about 4 years ago, I was actually at the lowest point of my life, where my beautiful wife actually asked me if I still wanted to be with her. And the Lord came in and he asked me that I should come into the light because he wants to use me in the light. And today I can actually look back, and today is the first time of 12 years that I can actually sit and have a conversation with my wife, that we have a relationship, that I can in the evenings put music up and dance with her. And that's only God that can do something like that. So that's what I'm thankful for.
I just want to praise God for bringing JP into the fold. Hallelujah! Woo!
I don't know, how do you give thanks? How do you take something? How do you choose even what to give thanks for? But yeah, apart from my dad that also had a heart attack, and me jogging with him on the farm during COVID was like a miracle on its own. And then, yeah, also a financial journey that God walked with us. And the one thing that was just so amazing about that journey was the way that God used the Word, and the way that the Word became alive. And this is not just a promotion for Bible school, although God really used Bible school amazingly, but the growth that happened during this year through the Word of God, and how that just set us free time and time again. But there's something else that is really just, it's a little bit under the radar, and it's something that you don't realize, because something that grows, you don't see it necessarily grow. You can't see the grass growing, but in 2 weeks' time, you need to cut it. And there's something that just is so amazing, and I really, it's just God. And that is to look around people in this room and see how God grew you. I mean, it was amazing to be here at the third year's the little sermon thing, and just see how people come here, people that you would never thought would be able to stand behind a mic, and God just grew those people to a place where they can now actually, you know, do this, and it's that to me is so amazing, and I really just thank God for the growth that happened in this group, in each one of our lives.
Yeah. Sorry. So ek is Leanne. Ek is nie Stephanie se tweeling nie. Ek is ouer as sy. So basically, I started working last year March, but before that, the thing is with me, I was like, I need to get a direct order from God if I want to move into something, because I'm scared of doing it in my own thoughts and stuff, because I don't want to disrespect God or go against His will. And yeah, so last year, I was looking for a job because I just finished my studies and stuff. And I didn't know what to do. And then Chesen actually told me that the Bavel Worskool wanted a youth worker. Yeah. And I was like, God, I don't know if I should do it. Like, there's nothing else. There's no other opportunity. Should I do this? Because in the end, you have the responsibility of a lot of kids, and you're going to have to give account for them. So I was like, in the self, I was like, God, can I actually do this? And at that time, my accountability partner said to me that if you look at the current stuff in your life, there's certain stuff that I had to tick off before I actually could step into that role. And then I was actually at uni picking up Steffi, and I had my phone because Nandi sent me the same lady. Number, and I was like, nah, I don't like phoning people. It's like a fear. I don't like it. And even when the phone rings, I will be too scared to answer. But anyhow, there was the first step to actually to calling her, asking if I could get an interview, like with her. And she works with like like a small private business making clothes and stuff. So I found her and she said, okay, don't come in like the next week, come the following week, then we can interview you. And as I got there for the interview, the Wednesday was like, I think 10:30 or something like that. I came there, I was still, I don't normally wear dresses. So I had on a dress and I had makeup on and all that stuff. And I went in, like prepared portfolio, everything. And then she said, okay, can you work out throughout the whole day? I'm like, okay. So I actually stayed there after the interview. She actually put me, in a position. And I started cutting and patterns and stuff like that. And then afterwards, she's like, okay, do you want to start here? And I'm like, oh, okay. and just that is just a testimony of like, not that God didn't want me to be used like in Bavel, but I think the season or not specifically the school, but the season isn't at that time at the moment, because now this job, I'm working with people that are 30 years older than I am. So it's hard, like, it's cool, like you work in a Christian environment, but it's hard for me to actually to evangelize to people that are much older than I am, that have more wisdom and knowledge and stuff. So now I have challenges with the one lady, she struggles with and God is just pressuring myself to actually to speak truth, like the word. And because I asked God, but why am I here? Like, because I remember, because I wanted to move, actually. And God said, like, I'm not going to move you if my purpose with you is not done at that place. So then I stayed. And now, actually, there's more conversation between us about Christian stuff. And I don't like confrontation or conflict or stuff like that. So the one lady, she keeps asking me questions. And I'm like, but after the fast that we had, like at that, like something just changed, and I had that boldness to actually to speak to her about it. And that is only through God. And now I see that this is the season where He's actually, just pushing me into. But yeah, so that was my nogalse faith challenge in a sense.
Okay, morning everyone. Some of you know that I've changed schools. I'm a teacher, so I changed to another school. There are currently no children, so we're just busy with planning. It's a kind of a different school. The head of school actually asked us to do mindfulness each morning. Now, mindfulness is telling jokes, making people laugh, or just spending quiet time. And then one lady decided she wanted to do yoga during the morning. And as a first year student, I don't know who studied, as a first year student, you do everything. You want to impress the seniors. But I just felt in my heart, I don't want to participate in this activity. And I stood like this during the activity. Everyone was doing it. And I'm just, look, my mouth was just hung open and just seeing everyone doing this. Because I know there are a couple of Christians also. And then afterwards, I just felt I need to tell the people that this is not the right thing to do. And but the timing of when to say it and everything, because then it's boldness. I don't like conflict. You can ask my wife. I don't like conflict. So I didn't know how to do it. And then after 10 minutes, the founder of the school came to talk to us. And she said she came to realize that some of the people don't get along with each other. And tomorrow, the following day, there's going to be opportunity to say if you don't like something or if you want to say something. And he's like, thank you, God. This is you speaking now. And then the following day, I actually stood up and I said that you can't, not bully, but forceer iemand om to do stuff they don't like and against their religion. And yeah, everyone just nodded and I was quiet. And afterwards, the founder of the school asked me to help facilitate the mindfulness in the school. So I'm now part of the team. And yeah, and a lot of the ladies, because I'm the only male teacher, think of me. A lot of estrogen in the school, but yeah, thank you, Stephen. And you know how it feels. And a lot of the ladies came to me and said, but we are going to start just a prayer group on Mondays at the school. So I'm welcome to come to the group and just join in. So yeah, just a step in boldness, testify to that, yeah.
So last year was an interesting year, and I started a business. Not the best thing to do just before COVID hit. And I must say, there was not one month, just April, where I didn't sell anything, I didn't do anything. I homeschooled, which has permanently relieved me of any desire to ever homeschool anyone, including my kids. But that was 1 month, and all the other months, I've made my targets. My business has grown. I've had some of the best months during COVID, so thank you for all the supporters. And I must say, it's amazing how the Lord brought people across my path. Like Nadine Blom would message me and say, do you want to come for an interview for a TV show? We're launching in December. Like, the stress for 2 weeks. What am I going to wear? Anyway, did that. Contacts out of nowhere. Do you want to make something for us? We're looking to do how many thousand of units a week or a month. It's just amazing how I don't go looking for things. I don't go advertising, except for the little posts on Facebook and Instagram, but how God brought people across my path, customers, potential clients, networking, all on his terms. I'm not going to go search for stuff. And he gives me creative ideas for new products and new things, because there's so much of the same out there. And crafters compete against cheap Chinese rubbish. I must say something else. stuff. And it's difficult because people understand the value of hand work. You'll never, crafters will understand, you never get reimbursed for your hours of labor, ever. But it's a labor of love, and you're sewing something in and you're blessing somebody through that product. And I just can see the testimony of God and the glory on the business that can just shine through and radiate. And that's what's touching it. And that's why it's doing well, because it's not because I'm doing anything and hummering and stitching away in the studio. He's providing, he's meeting up with clients, he's putting people across my path, he's giving me creative ideas for new products, setting me apart, differentiating my products to the market. And I think that is, it's nothing that I've done, really it isn't. There's still a lot to learn, it's not perfect yet, but it's just, it's an opportunity to bring him praise and glory through business. Okay, let's go.
I love hearing of the faith and people just stepping out and God just doing incredible stuff. And I think that is probably the most amazing thing about serving having Jesus your Lord and Savior and serving Him is to see how He works in your life. Yeah, can we maybe? Great. So I know none of us have arrived, and I'm so glad because I feel very welcome with people that hasn't arrived yet, and I know we're all still walking by faith, and God is shaping and molding each one of us, and we all know that we didn't see COVID in 2020 come, but I tell you one thing, I'm looking forward to what God has established in this year in your lives, even just the resilience, the strength, you know, the endurance, etc., which is going to look different in the years to come, and not just 2021, but in the years to come, what God has even established and done in our lives, He's going to build on, and we're going to see amazing things. So I also just want to give thanks. When I thought about this, I think one of the first things that I thought of is, you know, I gave my life to Jesus just over 30 years ago. And I'm just so thankful for the journey, the adventure. Ek was soos jy. I didn't even walk into a shop and ask what the price is of a sweet. That was me. That was why I will send my brother. Vind uit wat kos dit. And the miracle of what God can do in one's life, I think we cannot explain. So I'm thankful for that amazing journey. Then I'm definitely thankful for my wife and my two sons, for their unconditional love, firstly. Sometimes it's interesting being a wife to a pastor and being PK kids, ne? Yeah. That comes with its own challenges. But you know, my family never complains. My family never is on my case. My wife's on my case if I'm running too much, and then she says, we'll get off slack. But just thankful for the love and support that they've been giving me, and it's I'm glad to be part of this family. And then for the last 4.5 years, since we planted the church, there in Brackenfell, in that little small thing, venue. You know, when God said you do the church plant, when there was a confirmation, you know, you don't see what's coming. You engage that in faith and you start walking. And, you know, at that point, if I look back, then I think, yes, I knew nothing. I still don't know much. But it's amazing how God just learns you, teaches you, and takes you through things. And having been in this venue for the past 3 years, 3.5 years, actually, 3 years and 5 months, I think. It's been amazing to see who God's brought in, you know, what He's done in lives. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the work that He's done. I'm thankful for the elders and the small group leaders and the ministry leaders and just their passion for the kingdom. You know, most of us don't see the hours that they put in. You don't see the stress that they stress because of, you know, people, the prayers that they pray, the pursuing, the chasing, the phoning, etc., the, you know, the recruiting to get things done and to build the kingdom. And for that, I'm grateful. Just people that are passionate about the kingdom of God. And then for people that are part of Shofar Brackenfell as members, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for what you've built. I'm grateful that God has added you to this house. I know every church looks different, and you cannot be here and somewhere else. I'm grateful that God has added you here, and we love all of you to bits. And if it was up to me, we'll know each one of you very, very intimately and a lot better, but that's not always possible. I'm thankful for all the visitors, in especially the 3.5 years here, that God sent our way, people that we could impact, speak into their lives. Some of them have left. And I think that's probably one of the toughest things in being a pastor that I had to learn, is that you can't keep everybody. I want them all to stay, but people move on for various reasons, and I tell you, that's tough. We've sown many people that we've sent to various towns and cities, and you know, they've gone, and I know they are bearing fruit there because I will keep my eye on them. And that's been so encouraging to see. I'm thankful for the people that got saved. people that got baptized, people that went through Bible school and the encounters when we still could do that. Looking forward to next year where we're going to do that again. And I'm thankful just, you know, you talk about who said the third years. I mean, seeing the third years preaching up a storm here the other night was nice. Yeah, it was so encouraging to see the Houghtons, who's all been this, like, you know, we are not here, but they are, yet they are everywhere. But to see the journey, and it's been incredible. I'm thankful for what God has done in this congregation, that we're still here after a very tough couple of months. I'm thankful that we had no major job losses, or even in that case, how God has provided. I'm thankful for the way that the congregation have sown into the BodySurf account. And I would love to tell you of everybody that we've helped, and people that are still here and that are still okay, because we were able to help them financially. We were able to give them food. We were able to look after them. I think that's probably one of the things in COVID that blew my mind the most, was the financial generosity of this congregation. I didn't see that one coming, and now I want to get emotional. I didn't see that. You know, I'm grateful to you because I got a salary through this time, and it's because of your faithfulness and even just your faith in what God is doing here. So I stand in awe of an amazing God and what He can do. You know, in the time that I've served Him, He's worked so deeply in my life and stretched me in ways that you cannot believe. Even just doing what I'm doing today, I can't believe that. But then I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the work that He's done and the future that He has for us, the plans that He has for us. Saints, this is not over yet. You know, this world is on chaos, and I know we're all going, oh, what about this? And we see stuff, and we worry about stuff, and we, you know, there's so much that freaks us out. And yet, when we pursue God by faith, we'll see the amazing things that He is going to do. And that excites me. That journey with you excites me incredibly. So I want to thank you for bringing your gift to the table. I want to thank you for being faithful. I want to thank God that He's using each one of you, and that He's growing you, and He's challenging you, and He's shaping you, and He's molding you.